This is KPDO 89.3 FM, serving Pescadero and the South Coast. My guest today is Lynn Bowman.
Hey.
And we're talking
this
about...
is my very favorite radio station, actually. Did I mention that?
No, that's great. So we're going to be talking about all things South Coast, Pescadero, the things that are going on, many of them. And we're going to start with the announcement. It's very important that we know that the South Coast Artists Alliance is happening this year on the traditional weekend, which is the third weekend of August. So Friday, August 20th, they're going to have a big art show, and they need you to go out and get tickets so they can have a headcount and they can maintain a 50% capacity or whatever the rules are at the time.
So attendance is limited, unfortunately.
Attendance could be limited. It has to be counted in advance. Right. So the website for that is scaa-artists.org. And so artists with an S .org is the key. You want to be supporting the artists, the art programs for the school. The school district relies on this. We missed out last year. I mean, they raised something like $3,000.
And this is the high point of the social season.
That's right.
In Pescadero.
Now, what's really different is it's being held at Harley Farms. IDES Hall wouldn't let us meet there. So this is happening at Harley Farms Big Barn, the one that's at the corner of North Street and Pescadero Road. The upstairs, they will be serving wine. There's going to be art on all the floors and probably outside as well.
And your $25 ticket buys you a glass and some wine and possibly an hors d'oeuvre, I'm not sure.
Plus cidery. I mean, Nicole Reynolds has her cidery going now.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be terrific.
So you could actually get some cider.
You can get a free ticket. There is no actual charge to get in.
That's right.
But you are encouraged, if you're able to contribute the $25 that goes to support the
school,
South Coast artists.
School programs and the artists. Now, the other thing is there will be a raffle, as there usually is. So people who don't have a lot of money can still put in their, you know, $5 here or whatever and bet, you know, or take their chances that they'll get a particular picture that's going to be on the wall that they get to.
And the art is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's always amazing. We have beautiful, beautiful things for everyone to see.
And there's like 45 artists participating. So it's like back to the old days in this regard. However, again, it is at a new location, but it's at the traditional time on the traditional weekend, which is the third weekend of August. So the big shindig is Friday, August 20th, and then the show continues.
Is it 6 o'clock?
Yep, 6 o'clock, and the show continues on Saturday and Sunday. So you can look around at the art any time. There is no, you know, ticket for that part of it. It's going to be outdoors on Saturday and Sunday, so, you know, you're free to roam. But just be aware for that wine serving at the on the top floor, they need a head count. Okay?
So get your ticket.
SCAA, which stands for South Coast Artists Alliance, scaa-artists.org. That's where you go. And you'll see how to get the ticket from there. Also, you could go to Eventbrite and search for South Coast Artists Alliance.
And again, the proceeds, Catherine, go to support
the school programs for La Honda Pescadero Unified School District. All the art programs are funded for by South Coast Artists Alliance. And Annie Ingraham, who is the art teacher, is leaving this year. It makes it that much more important that we have art in action and that we have art programs and that we have funding for them. So that's key. And so the other thing we want to talk about is, you know, remember last year, right around when we were supposed to normally have the art show and PAF, the fires hit.
Yeah.
Remember that? So the lightning strike happened, that lightning storm that caused all the damage was on August 16th, and we are approaching that anniversary. And to talk about improvements and how we've learned how to cope with the fires, One of the things I really want to mention and emphasize is this new app that we all need to get called the Smoke Point app. And you can go out to Google Play Store or to Apple and get this app, download it for free, and you can you know, calibrate it, go through all the steps they tell you to, because what happens is the more people who have this, the more the public can help the fire department find fires. So if you'll recall, last year we had all these plumes, but the fire department literally could not find where they were, even though they had multiple calls. This app solves that problem. It uses your GPS coordinates and the heading of the compass that's inside of your phone, and the plume itself, the picture of the plume, that's called a reading. It goes anonymously. It doesn't go back to you. It goes anonymously to the fire department.
So this is a huge improvement in the accuracy of where the smoke is coming from. So we know where the fire is, which is, it doesn't sound like, but this is a big, big deal.
It's a really big deal. And they have small fire trucks now. The La Honda Fire Brigade and the Loma Mar Fire Brigade both got small trucks.
Finally.
So they can go into these little logging roads and fire trails, and they can get to these things early before they get big and merge with other fires. So,
and who do we have to thank for Smoke Point?
It's a guy named Gabe Schein.
Thank you, Gabe.
And he is a La Honda Fire Brigade volunteer, so we have to thank him again.
And geek, obviously. That's so great.
Well, he's a Google engineer, which is just like, wow, such a great, good fortune.
Good combination.
So he developed the app, and it is now something well-known by CAL FIRE. It's really something everybody needs to get to help support your local fire department and make sure you are protecting your community by helping them get to the fires early and when they're small.
And we have also had such a great response from our local fire units. They've been out in the neighborhoods. In our neighborhood, Engine 59 came through and went over every property that they could get into and have a conversation with. We were very happy to see them and very happy to talk with them, because they are explaining to us exactly what is important for us to do and what, you know, maybe isn't so important, but where we should focus our efforts in cleaning up our hillsides or our gutters, changes to make on putting signs on water sources for the engines that may be near us.
Yeah, that's a very important thing. One of the things we've done is here in the canyon, we have these big red boxes that have fire hoses in them that make it really easy for the fire department to find the fire hoses. We also had a big chipper program here, as they had in La Honda.
Right.
And that's a way for us to gather up all of our branches and debris and put it in a place where the chipper people can come and get it and make it into small bits. And then that can be either taken someplace else, or if you want it on your property, you can spread it out here.
But if you haven't had the fire people at your property, just let them know, and they will work with you very happily to explain things. In our case, it was how low the branches should hang on the trees on your property, what you might want to trim at the bottom of the trees that just need to be removed. Mm-hmm. Certainly, if you've got eucalyptus, the county wants to know, and they want to help you get rid of them if you're willing. And most of us are,
yeah,
because they explode and burn.
They're just a torch. I was at Pie Ranch not so long ago, and you can just see that the fire followed the eucalyptus trees all the way down the hill.
It's notorious. And of course, back, you remember the Oakland fire. They blamed the eucalyptus trees really for it being such a disaster.
Yeah, so there's no permit for this now.
Right.
If you own the trees or you have permission from the owner, you can just take them down.
Also, if you want help, want advice, you can call RCD.
Oh, that's right.
The Resource Conservation District, Kellex and her folks there are happy to take your call, and they will either try and help themselves or they will put you in touch with someone else at the county, fire department, whoever else. The chipper program.
That was through RCD.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have a whole section that does a whole bunch of things regarding fire. And so it's they do many things these days, but that's one, that's a great resource.
Another thing that we've done in Dearborn Park that is not, it's just an informal thing, but we think it's important. We made sure that we tried to get everyone on the street to give us, we have a spreadsheet with name, phone number, pets, names of pets, where the pets are enclosed. I think that was all that was on the spreadsheet, but it was the information that we thought was essential if we did have an evacuation, if there was another emergency, and you're not home, or there's someone sitting for you in your home or whatever, we want to be sure that we know that we get your horse or your dog or your pig or your chickens or whatever taken care of, because often someone is an hour away or several hours away.
Right.
And it, just being able to communicate with your neighbors is huge. So if you can, find a way to get a list of phone numbers, names, pet names, anything else that you feel is essential, so that you can talk to each other when this happens.
You know, there's several different little communities, Butte-No Canyon's among them, that have neighborhood coordinators. And this started with the South Skyline Emergency Preparedness Group. And they have a great website, ssepo.org, that will help you get your go kit together, will also help you understand how neighborhood coordination works. And it's very much what you're talking about. So here in the canyon, we've got like 12 or 13 neighborhoods identified, and each neighborhood coordinator has this information gathered about how to contact the owners of the homes that they're responsible for. You take care of yourself first,
right,
obviously. But then you also have somebody in the community that has a ham radio that knows how to get out information if your power is out or whatever. So, yeah, it's a really good program. And the more we get prepared and feel like we know what we're doing, we know how to respond when there is a fire, the better off we're all going to be. And it really, part of it is to reduce the trauma, to reduce the anxiety, right? If you can, clear your property, you have good preventable distance between, so that the fires don't start, the ember shower doesn't reach your home, you know, if the trees burn, and you reduce that fuel ladder to nothing so that you're not getting fire going up the trees. All of these things help. That's stuff you can do well in advance, but then having your go kit, maybe having some training, emergency response training, or being part of a neighborhood coordination effort, where at least you know who your neighborhood coordinator is. All of these things help you feel at ease, like you know what you're going to do if there's a fire, if you have to evacuate, you know where the emergency shelter is. In fact, most people don't go to a shelter. Only 10% of the people do. They go to a relative or a friend.
But the shelter is a great point to connect and find out where you can get shelter in a hotel or something to
That's
connect
right.
with other people from your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Last year, they had a coffee and all kinds of things set up at the high school.
That's right. And you had to do that.
And I absolutely had to do that.
Now, because you had to meet your daughter there because she
couldn't
get in anymore.
And that was a whole different thing. But I took the truck and the trailer and the dogs and went to the high school, and the dog, and that's why I also say that it's really important that we know the pets that are involved,
that's
because
right.
so much of the effort last year was
Large.
Getting horses and goats and
right.
all the critters taken care of that we could manage.
Large animal evac was like so essential. So those people are amazing. And they, I think they evacuated 3,000. Maybe it was more.
Lots of critters. But you don't want to leave cats at home or dogs.
You have to have your carriers ready for your dogs and your cats.
Right. And just having that informal network of knowing who your neighbors are and knowing how to reach them is huge.
Yeah.
It's
and
really huge.
Knowing that, hey, this is the person you call once you've left. The other thing that's going to happen, at least hopefully, La Honda Fire Brigade, or I should say SC4ARC, which is the South Coast Amateur Radio Club, they have applied for a grant to have disaster operating centers that are mobile, that are remote. So let's say that we get cut off. We're all evacuated. We have people staying in like we did before with firefighters, volunteer firefighters inside. If you've evacuated, you can't get back in. The DOCs allow you to get in touch with your relatives. They have ham radios that actually use email, if you can believe that.
Oh my gosh.
So that you can be, conveying very detailed, even
and these are called, again,
disaster operation centers, so they're DOCs, and these are mobile, kind of pop-up.
Operated by?
By the Amateur Radio Club.
Okay.
Which is associated with La Honda Fire. And these guys have been doing this for decades. They're really good at what they do. They've trained many people in CERT, many people in ham radio.
So do you get in touch with La Honda Fire or?
Well, if you want to be a part of this or you want to contribute to this, SC4ARC has its own website. You go to sc4arc.org and there are contacts there if you want to be involved, if you want to get in, more information about that. We haven't gotten the grant yet. I'm just saying this is something that we think would really help our community if we could get this.
It sounds super.
Yeah. So, and it's not a whole lot of money, considering the help it can be. It's not like you're buying a truck or something like that. That costs like $100,000 or more. This is like a $25,000 grant for 5 mobile disaster operating centers. So let's say that somebody is down at Highway 1 Brewing wanting to contact somebody in Butte Canyon who's still in here. There can be a pop-up DOC right there that can get them in touch with their relatives, or the relatives can get word out to the people who are trying to find out how they're doing. That's so critical, knowing how everybody's doing.
Yeah.
When there's no cell phone coverage, there's no power, you've got that ham radio. That's what's going to keep the communications going. And that's what these disaster operation centers use.
One of the other instruments that we used last year was the Ring camera on Bloom Farms' front door, which just happened to be focused out into the meadows, and it had a couple of the other neighborly houses in it, so we could see through it. Tammy had the phone on there.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And there are probably going to be more of those this year, and sure, those things can be useful too.
Oh yeah, having your cam that you can use,
right,
so long as the internet's still working. That's an absolutely great thing. There's a lot of other things that are going on around here all the time. And one of them is...
This is a happening place. Let's just face it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we've got to support the farmer's market. The farmer's market happens during the summer, all the way from like the end of May or the beginning of June until the end of September. And it is on Thursdays from 2 to 6. And it's right where Cindy's property is,
and that's a change. The hours have changed from last year, and I think it's working really well. Mm-hmm. 2 to 6,
yes,
seems to be magic hour.
Yeah, it's better because more sunlight,
right?
And they're not staying so late,
right?
And so they're going to cut it off at the end of September, also staying in the sunlight. So I think that's a nice thing. But we're always trying to promote eating food local.
So Sims Organics is always there. Mm-hmm. Fly Girl Farms, always there. Who else?
Blue House Farm sometimes.
Okay.
Plus the guy who fixes the bikes.
Yes.
Plus the people who do the music. There's always somebody free. Plus usually a nonprofit like Puente who's helping with some program or other. And always the Match program. The Match program is kind of like food stamps, in a sense. So people get the ability to buy more of the food through the Match program.
And it's a huge variety of food for as yes, few vendors as we have.
Right.
Matt and Fly Girl grow all kinds of fantastic stuff.
Flowers. I mean, it's also nice
flowers,
to go in there and get flowers. And there's other people who do some, like they'll sell soaps or something. So there's always something new and different there. Once a month, Left Coast Beef, is it? Or
mm-hmm.
Yeah. and we'll be selling their their meat there. So there's a huge variety that goes
on. And you're getting your fruits and vegetables with no plastic wrap and no little stickers. That's my favorite part. Please don't put those little stickers on my avocados. all my stuff. I hate them. The food is wonderful.
Not just that, but we just learned not so long ago from this Ayurvedic doctor.
Manish
Chandra, that if you're eating local food seasonally, you know, seasonal and local, then you are getting the best.
It's better for your biome.
It's right. Better for your gut. It allows you to adapt to your environment in the best way. It gives you the most nutrition and the best health to eat very locally and seasonally, meaning eating what's ripe in its own time. And so that,
and we are so lucky that we are so close. I mean, we're driving and walking by the fields where this food is being grown.
Exactly.
And we can ask Ariel or Matt what's going on in the fields, what's out there right now, and what should I grab, and what should I maybe not grab. But no, it's whatever they bring to the farmer's market is always just the very best food you can buy. And it tastes better, and it looks better, and it doesn't come with a lot of waste. And
well, and it tastes better because it's grown in really rich earth,
real dirt, right?
You know, and that makes all the difference, because the earth itself has a biome, you could say. You know,
absolutely. What we're eating is dirt, processed dirt, and that's as it should be. We got some good dirt going on, and it's also heartening to know that these farmers are friends. Are putting their heart and soul in this stuff. I mean, they are all about growing the very best food they can grow, with no poisons on it, with, you know, helping the earth, not hurting the earth. Right. That's no small item. It's huge.
It really is a benefit to all of us, and it's a win-win for the farmers and for us, the community. So, you know, we want to support those guys in any way that we can.
And maybe this is a good time to say that if you need a cookbook to tell you how to use all that amazing stuff and how to eat the plant-based materials that we're growing right here, it's called Brownies for Breakfast by Lynn Bowman. Thank you.
Well, hey, I think it's awesome to have a plug like that. That's fine with me. So I'm really happy that we mentioned that, but I just sort of want to do a recap, because we want to keep this short and simple.
We want to make sure
that we keep people apprised of all the latest, most important stuff.
Yes.
And let them then go out and explore it and make sure that they can take advantage of it. So, you know, starting over, we talked about the South Coast Artists Alliance. SCAA-artists.org is where you can get your tickets. The show is on August 20th, 21st.
6 o'clock.
Well, the big show on Friday night starts at 6 with the wine on the top floor of Harley Farms Barn. So it's not at IDES Hall this year. It's at Harley Farms. It's called the Upper Barn, meaning the one right at the corner of...
You can't miss it.
No, it's big. It's at North and Pescadero Creek Road. So that's a big deal. The fact that it's happening is a really big deal. We're approaching the anniversary of the fires. We want everybody to be prepared. There's lots of ways to do that, but critical that we all get the Smoke Point app. Developed locally by a local fire brigade volunteer who happens to be a Google engineer, Gabe Schein. And this is so important for all of us to help keep the fires small and help the fire departments find the fires while they're still small so they can put them out. That's really a big deal. They can get there sooner. There's lots of things you can do to prepare for the fires yourself, including go kits, getting in touch with your neighbors. If there's a neighborhood coordination program, if you want, you can get training for ham radio. There's so many things to do.
Get in touch with the fire department to examine your property and make sure you're doing everything you can do.
Right. So we have a lot many resources you can go to. If you go to South Skyline EmergencyPreparation.org website, which is SSEPO.org, They have a list for your go kits. They have a list for your animals, how to prepare your animals to leave. And that's so important. Have your carriers ready for your kitty cat and for your dog. But also if you have large animals, large animal evac was incredibly successful at saving animals last year. That was such a phenomenal effort. And they had just maybe 100 volunteers rescue thousands and thousands of animals. I mean, those guys deserve their own interview.
You know what? Great idea.
It is a good idea.
We need
to talk to them because that was so amazing. We have lots of amazing, wonderful volunteers in our community. And so, you know, these are just a couple of things to talk about. Now, it isn't a volunteer effort, but it's a very important local effort, and that is the farmers market. And that is something that we want to support. It's good for our bodies. It's good for our farmers. It's a really good thing for us to do.
Thursdays at 2 p.m.
Yes.
So 6.
And it's on Stage Road, kind of next to the bank, right? It's sort of between the bank.
Well, you can't miss it.
And Norm's. If you actually go down Stage Road and you'll see it.
You can holler, "Where's the farmer's market?"
Yeah,
people will say, "Right there."
Yeah, all these white pop-up tents.
Right.
The music is usually playing. You've got the bicycle guy. There's a lot of tents because many other organizations use, you know, the farmer's market too. So those are biggies, and I'm trying to think. Did we talk about your book, your amazing book?
Oh, did we mention my book?
Yes, we actually
called Brownies for Breakfast.
Listen, I just did this last weekend. I visited my daughter. We fixed the badass mom
Mimi's badass brownies.
Yeah, Mimi's badass brownies. Both of my daughters love them so much, and they're so easy to cook. I mean, I can bring all the ingredients and cook it in half an hour right there.
And the subtitle is A Cookbook for Diabetics and the People Who Love Them.
Yeah.
But the whole idea is it's sugar-free, it's plant-based whole foods, and it turns out that everybody should be eating like a diabetic.
That's it. And it tastes so awesome. It tastes
so great. It's just good food.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's a great thing. We could talk about many, many other things, but those are highlights for this particular time of year. And we really want people to be aware that, you know, it's a happening place around here. Lots is going on. And it's, you know, please participate. You're going to enjoy yourself. You'll love the South Coast Artists Alliance show. They have 45 or more artists, local artists, South Coast artists participating. It's always amazing. It's always beautiful.
It is. And it's our big fundraiser for the arts.
Right. And so the schools, they just, I mean, our local school district really relies on that. We couldn't have it last year. So it's so important that we really support it this year. It's a big deal.
Yes. And we are one shift in the wind away from the fires being back.
That's
so
right.
You know, so far we've been lucky this year, but as we're all becoming more and more aware, it's out there, and the weather has
we've been so dry, and on the other hand we've had those mists,
we've had heavy fog drip, which has saved the day.
Yeah,
right,
thank God.
But at this time of year we all start watching our creeks carefully.
Yeah.
And our wells, and we know that things are drying up.
Mm-hmm.
And the information just came out yesterday, I think, about the number of towns in the state of California that are out of water.
Yeah.
And it's towns like Pescadero that depend on small local systems, private systems,
fortunately, we have an aquifer that's supposed to last for like 90 years or something.
But it depends on where you are.
And
if you're down close to the ocean, the likelihood is that it's harder for you to find water.
Right.
There's more salt water in the dirt down there.
Yeah.
And a number of us up in the watershed depend on the small feeder streams that come in.
Well, there's little springs everywhere as you get to the top of the hills for some reason.
Right,
there's lots
right.
of little springs.
But water, as you've been reading, mm-hmm. is going to be the big, big issue. It's a real problem throughout the state. We are in a terrible drought. We don't see it here on the coast so much because we're in the trees and because we have the fog drip, but the rest, the part of California that is producing an enormous amount of food mm-hmm. is struggling.
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you think about it.
And the salmon are endangered because of the heat of the water.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
I did not know that.
Right. Because the water levels are lower, mm-hmm. like up at the Shasta mm-hmm. area. And Mount Shasta has no snow.
Right.
Do you remember in your lifetime?
No.
Ever.
No, I've never seen it with no snow.
No. So if there's any question in your minds about changes.
Yeah. It's not just a temporary drought. This is the way
stuff.
It's going to keep going.
Right.
And it's going to get worse. And what I've heard is that if we stopped adding to the emissions right now, the CO2 is baked in.
Right.
Unless we start sequestering that carbon somehow and putting it back into the earth, we're going to be stuck with global warming for, you know, decades.
Well, the answer is it all should have been done some time ago.
Yeah.
But we need to be doing whatever we can possibly do
right
now. And I'd like to be the first one to give up my car if I could.
Hey, I have an electric vehicle.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's part of a big puzzle of how do you combat this. And it's little actions that we can all do, but also agriculture is huge. If we can start changing the way we do agriculture so that we sequester carbon, that would make such a difference.
Well, and let's talk about something else. The way we've been doing agriculture is throwing carbon out of the dirt and up into the air.
Right.
Every one of those big combines that goes through the dirt, it takes the carbon out and literally throws all of the nutrition in the soil up into the air. And
I didn't know about no tilling.
Yeah,
I talked to Tammy about that maybe a couple of years ago and realized,
no-till agriculture.
Yeah, we've really got to change the way we do things.
We do.
Well, okay, so this is KPDO, 89.3 FM, serving Pescadero and the South Coast. My guest today has been Lynn Bowman. It has been a fascinating conversation.
It's always fascinating.
As always.
And this is such a happening place.
It is. And, you know, we can talk about many things, but just talking about Pescadero can keep us going. So please visit the South Coast Artists Alliance website, scaa-artist.org, if you remember anything, and get the Smoke Point app. Those are your two
But join the party on August 20th.
That's it.
Don't miss out.
Right. The Smoke Point app is on the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. Download it. It's free. Get it set up. Be ready. And you can really contribute so much. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.